Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the beginning of a brand new week. I'm Mike O'Mara. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. That's Rob Spiewak.
Hi, folks.
In your upper right-hand corner, down at the bottom of your screen, is our executive producer, business manager, travel agent, Las Vegas liaison, advertising relations manager,
technical advisor,
Carla O'Mara relationship director, Josh Soroka, Birds fan, Orioles fan.
Yes.
All positives.
I want to lead with baseball. I want to talk about the
America important... loves it, Mike. It's America's pastime.
It's the great. It was referred to for decades as the great American pastime.
Indeed.
And I think at its best, a great baseball game is one of the finest activities in sport. I love the game.
What about a bad baseball game?
A bad baseball game can, in my humble opinion, and Josh will probably back me up on this, literally put you to sleep.
Have you ever have you ever dozed off in a park, like at a ball game?
Never at a game. No, never. Okay. But multiples on television. Multiples. The game of golf, which I love, and the game of baseball, I can fall asleep. I can fall asleep in a hockey game, believe it or not, too, if it's not something that's stimulating.
Carrie fell asleep at a football game back in the days of Jack Kent Cook Stadium in Landover, Mike. It was on the club level. She wasn't out in the bowl.
I'm going to throw out just a wild guess.
Yeah.
That you didn't pay for those tickets.
Mike, I haven't paid for a Redskin ticket. God, I can't even think of the last time. But I was also at that point, Mike, employed by the organization.
When was the last time, if ever, you went to a sporting event that you paid for? I know you paid for plenty of concerts.
It was a year ago, Christmas, we bought tickets and took the fam to a hockey game. We did.
You bought tickets to a Capitals game?
Yeah, because we needed five of them for that, and so I didn't feel right asking for those.
Okay. That's good, though. That's a surprise to me. And you pay for those minor league baseball tickets, right?
Exactly. But that can cost, if you want to get a family of five into a minor league game, you're looking at nearly $30.
That's a windfall for the team when you
Spiewak
show up.
And if you go on a nice Tuesday, it's buy one, get one free.
Exactly.
Or it's kids get in free.
It's wonderful deals.
Minor league baseball is easy to go to.
And if you go to a major league game, who knows, you might just come home with a bobblehead.
That's true. Yeah. That's so true. The hardest thing growing up with the family was getting the kids in the trunk for the drive-in.
Yes, very, very exciting. Very, very exciting.
The only way that Spiewak see a movie.
And that one time that you broke your untempered glass roll-up window by hanging that big metal speaker on it.
Yeah, you see, a lot of people don't know this, Josh.
I'm old enough to remember. Are drive-ins even a thing anymore?
You can find them occasionally. Not a lot in the D.C. area because the property's a little pricey.
Right. I think Benji's is still open up in the Baltimore area.
Benji's. That's awesome. I love it.
And that. I may or may not have been conceived at a drive-in theater.
Wow. That's a shocker right out there.
Right.
The Lee Highway Theater that became the Lee Highway Multiplex, and now I believe it's office buildings at the intersection of Lee Highway and Gallows.
Right.
So that's I've researched to see what movie was playing. I was never able to really determine what probably my mom and dad were not watching that night.
Wow. That's interesting that you think about those things.
Yeah, that you've really dug into that.
Well, it was sort of a challenge from Katie. It was from an episode of Cake and Cookies when she didn't know the true story that I didn't figure out. I was conceived out of wedlock until I was like 25.
Katie's good that way. That's
and
why
so
that show
said,
works.
Yeah, and so she
that's
said,
why well, our listeners clamor for more of it. They want more Cake and Cookies. I can see that she would push you down that road.
But it might have been like, it would have been 1970.
Yeah.
So it would have been the summer of 70, probably June of 70. So whatever would be big movie in like June of 1970, that would have been the movie.
Big movie.
Well, I mean, huge.
The French Connection. Movie.
Maybe. Or maybe that's what was going on in the car. I want to tell you.
Oh, my God. So nasty.
I know, but, Mike. We weren't all conceived, you know, under the eyes of God in a bed like you.
Well, you knew my dad.
Oh, really?
Catch 22 was the big summer blockbuster.
Could have been Catch 22.
That'd be tough in a drive-in, if I remember it. It's been a long time since
what,
I...
That's the
a,
movie that's a, or Making Love?
No, Catch 22, the movie.
Horrible book. Hated that book. Had to read it for school, and I didn't like it. What was it? I can't think
is
of the name.
Is that Vonnegut?
It might be.
Who wrote Catch 22? And Catch 22 is the name of a unsolvable problem.
Well, it's, yeah, essentially.
Catch
yeah.
22 is something that in order to make it right, you have to make something else wrong, and you can never do one without the other. So right. Something will be wrong and very military, Catch
but
22.
But another use of the number 22, which pops up in a lot of places. It's always
so?
The winning.
I don't know
losing.
That I've never heard of. I've never heard
22
of
22 in many movies is either a winning or losing key number in roulette. It is in The Sting, it is in Casablanca, and I think there's a couple others.
Man, I was watching one of my many gambling videos, and there is another number that came up, and I don't remember what
Green
it
zero.
Was. No, it was some kind of lucky number that, but I forgot it.
Was it a super terrific, happy, lucky number?
No, I don't think. Rob, it may have been. It may yeah. have been on the Asian numerical scale, because all those slot machines, if you look at a lot of, you have Dragon Link.
Yes.
You have all sorts of like dragons and Asian characters, and
that's why
because
I
of
only
the gambling in Asia. You know?
All I do is gamble American, and I play Buffalo.
God, I watched a guy last night. Unbelievable. This guy who is NG. It's NG Slots, and he is absolutely the degenerate of degenerate gamblers. This guy, I mean, in 15 minutes. He lost about 80 grand. And Carla and I are watching this video with our jaws hanging open, just watching this guy go crazy. Because, you know, it's on our mind going out to Vegas. It's on our mind all the time. We love playing the games. Do we have the author of Catch 22, Josh Soroka? Because you always look that kind of stuff up.
I did, and I closed it.
That's okay. It's not Vonnegut, though?
That is no, a Catch 22, not. Right? Is it Joseph? No, it's not Joseph Heller, is it?
I don't know. I wouldn't be asking if
no,
I knew.
It is Joseph Heller.
Joseph Heller.
Yes.
Very good.
Okay,
good job,
wow.
Rob.
Yeah.
Wow.
So speaking of baseball, we'll get to it's a very baseball centered opening of the show today because I want to talk to Josh Soroka about his passion, and then I will get to my managerial debut tonight at 6 p.m. in Fort Myers, Florida, where the Navy Blue team, is heading out there. We got our jerseys for tonight. We're going to be picking them up. I think they said the big joke when I volunteered to manage this team was, and about three dads said it, you get a hat, which is cool. I'll take a hat. I'm
That's
very
cool.
excited about it.
Oh, they don't give you a jersey, just a hat?
They don't give me a jersey. Nope.
Right.
I just get a hat. So that's our.
The one thing I need to know if you're managing, Mike, is when is the best time to put in a tomato plant? Alice Swede wants to know. The best
that's
time.
An Earl Weaver joke right there, which Josh would know. But it's official. Right? Is MLB regular season over now, correct?
Yeah. Well, we have two games today, which is fun in the National League. Mm-hmm. Because of the hurricane, two Braves games could not happen. So today, the Braves and the Mets play a doubleheader.
Any consequences that could
and
come
the
out
consequence,
of this?
Yeah, well, the consequence is what makes it fun. They each need one win to get into the playoffs.
So if they split, they both
if
go to the
split,
playoffs.
If they split, they both go into the playoffs.
Wow.
If one sweeps,
they knock the other out. So it's
that is
cool
very
that
cool.
It has something to do, and then they'll have to both play tomorrow.
May I just send word out to everybody listening to me right now, wherever you are, so many, such a massive chunk of the country affected by Hurricane Helene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I saw the video, you know, we were worried about the coastal areas, which were devastated, some of them down here in Florida. But when you look at Asheville, North Carolina, that, you know, somebody sunk it. It was just stunning, the floodwaters that go through. And, you know, when you're in those mountainous areas, those flash floods, that flooding is terrifying to me. I've always been freaked out by that. So yeah, to anybody that's been, you know.
Has no one fought this? No, but seriously,
Yes, sir.
This is the first time that we're seeing this kind of extreme weather inland?
No, but because you'll get tropical systems that dump a lot of rain and you'll get flash flooding.
Sure,
but
sure.
The size and frequency of these storms is steadily increasing, and these storms are getting bigger. This is a massive storm. This affected people for such a wide path, and just to see that, you know, a week after we're dealing with it, and
right.
You know, we lived it this weekend with having a son of a friend of ours that lives on Sanibel Island in Florida staying with us while they were cleaning up, and then dropping him off in Sanibel yesterday, and they're doing fine. So, but anyway, getting back to baseball, as far as the birds, I know because I drifted off when the Red Sox started sucking again, and I stopped paying attention. I would know
that was when May.
You know, they got into the beginning of September. They were
the
very competitive.
Red Sox did finish 81-81.
500.
So they stayed 500. So
yeah, competitive.
Not too bad. Yeah.
Like they say about the Giants too. Competitive. So explain to me the playoff structure of the Wild. Is the wild card still a one-off game?
No, the wild card is a best of three.
Okay.
So you have to win two games.
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's Detroit and Houston play tomorrow night, and Kansas City and Baltimore play tomorrow.
And it's a three-game series.
Three-game series.
Very, very nervous, yep. Nerve-wracking, right? You got to – I mean, the slightest thing. If it's a seven-game series, you're okay. You can have your little lull and you can come back. But a three-game series, you know, the slightest miscue, that adds to the pressure. How nervous are you for your Baltimore Orioles?
I actually feel really good going into this series, which is probably bad.
Okay, because it's in Baltimore, right? They're the top-seeded wild card.
It's in Baltimore. I'm going to fly up this afternoon.
Okay.
Of course you are.
The game is at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
All right.
So I'll probably be more nervous tomorrow. Right now I feel really good.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Josh. I don't think him feeling good is going to be bad luck the way it would be if you felt good about the Red Sox. I think a Red Sox fan is different than an Orioles fan. And you sort of, you know, you're already, and it's the same thing with the Giants a little bit. You are already anticipating the bad when something good happens.
You know, let me explain to you briefly, and we'll get back to Josh and the Orioles. And he's a super fan, and his podcast is Section 102, which is wildly popular.
It's 336. He has it on his wall.
Oh, Section 336, which is his section. And where do you lay your head when you go to Baltimore now, since you don't have a residence up there? What do you do?
It's I have a sister that's up there, so sometimes I'll go there.
There you go.
I am, since my parents are going as well this up tomorrow, I am staying with them at my aunt's home.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a party.
Tomorrow.
That's a lot of people.
I'm assuming the internet's going to be good, and I'll be joining you from her home.
I think it's so wonderful that you have that in your life, and just cherish every moment of it because it's special. I really believe that.
If I'm doing this from a Starbucks tomorrow morning, that'll be why.
No problem. We knew that early on. This is your passion, and listen. As far as the wild cards and baseball and all of it. It's what having now an 11-year-old son that is into sports is really, really just wonderful. It permeates our life down here, and I know it permeates yours where you live, Josh. And you know, even Rob had his little guy when he was in basketball.
Yes,
and it's just it's really, really fun. So the Orioles, you feel good about. Playing Kansas City, and then the winner of that series will go on to the ALCS, correct?
Yep, winner of that series goes on to play the New York Yankees. And we've had a really good year with the Yankees.
Yes, and Rizzo, is it Mike Rizzo? Is that the name of the – who's the guy that was their first baseman who broke two fingers? I think he's out. Rizzo. Anthony
Frank
Rizzo.
Rizzo.
Frank Rizzo. Who knows? Rizzo.
That's Mike from the Jerky Boys.
I can't pretend to be the fan I'm not.
It is Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo.
With two broken fingers.
And he's not playing for
– long shot for the ALDS.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. So it is the ALDS after the wild card, right?
Yes.
And then it is the ALCS when they play a team from the West.
Correct.
So yep. It is three layers that the Orioles will have to go through to get to the World Series.
Yes.
And let me see
this
if I got
this is more complicated than Dancing with the Stars.
Well, what I'll do, Rob, is I'll give you the teams.
All Rob, right? You can see I got a nice color-coded calendar to help me keep track of it because it is confusing.
It is confusing.
Well, tell me the oppositions. I'll tell you who
Let me give you the teams.
Okay.
All right? You have the Baltimore Orioles.
They will win.
In the playoffs.
Right.
You have the Kansas City Royals.
Not win.
You have the New York Yankees.
Always win.
You have the Washington Senators.
The Washington Senators, Mike, you can't fool me. That's the Minnesota Twins.
No, Josh, I swear to God, after the Royals, the Orioles, and the Royals I only know because you just told me, and we've got the New York Yankees. Who else is in the
Tigers
AL?
Are in it. You said that, right?
Yep, the Tigers and the Astros are in it, in the wild card.
Amazingly, Mike, that will end up in a tie and neither will advance.
All right, so you got
Cleveland and New York are the two teams that have the bye in the American League.
Because they are the division winners.
Right.
And then in the National League, who do we have?
In the National League, you got the Phillies and the Dodgers. They've got the byes.
Always. Yeah.
And then you've got the Brewers and the Padres. And those guys will play will be determined on today's game, whether it's the Braves, the Mets, or the Diamondbacks.
So let me see if I got it right.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
Orioles, Royals, Yankees, Tigers, Astros. That's the American League, five teams right there. And Cleveland, six teams.
Right.
Yeah. Six teams. Then in the National League, you have Phillies, Dodgers, Padres. Hold on. I can get it. Padres, Phillies, Dodgers, Padres, Brewers.
Brewers, yeah.
And who else?
And possibly the Braves, Mets, or Diamondbacks, depending on today's games.
But two of those teams will go.
Two of those teams. Two of those three.
See, Mike, I only follow the Israeli baseball league, and I'm rooting for the Hebrewers.
Well, that's good because their starting pitcher is on the Orioles.
What's good is that none of us laughed at that. That's what's really good.
I laughed inside.
Well, you laughed at all. You have broken the first rule of comedy your entire career, laughing at your own jokes.
Mike, I will tell you something that long after I die, people will look back and they will say Rob Spiewak was the first rule of comedy.
Has a lot of respect for his own abilities, ladies and gentlemen, and that's a good thing. As far as the baseball season, though, there is nothing that compares.
Yes.
There I am. I just told Rob not to laugh at his own shtick, and then my setup, I'm laughing at my own setup.
Mike, if we didn't laugh at our own stuff, the show would only be 40 minutes long.
There is nothing bigger than the managerial debut of Mr. Mike O'Mara for the Navy Blue Babe Ruth 12U baseball team tonight, fall league, fall ball.
It's time for a team name.
Mike,
it's the first game and you're still just the Navy Blue team,
I don't know the rules. I think that's what we are going by, and I think it's going to be Navy. I think we're called Navy.
I need a little background because all of this stuff of you becoming a coach happened when I was on holiday.
Okay.
So could I get a thumbnail sketch of how this went down?
We go to the first practice. It's a great time for us, the O'Mara family. It's 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, which is absolutely perfect prior to the football games.
Right after Mass?
Right after early Mass, 7:15 Mass. We go there. The email that's sent out for the practice by the commissioner of the league says they are managerless for the team, that a couple of parents have committed to be assistant coaches, but no one has stepped up to be manager. We get there, the commissioner speaks to us as we're sitting in the bleachers, and I'm getting ready to watch practice sitting in the bleachers like I always do.
Is it still Bowie Kuhn that runs that league?
It's Bart Giamatti.
Wonderful. He's a good guy.
So Bart Giamatti says, talks about the fact that he's got these parents that have agreed to be assistant managers. Is there anybody that has coaching in Little League experience? I'm 65. I've got experience in probably everything at one point or another. So I raised my hand. And I don't know why I raised my hand, but I think when I raised my hand when he said that, I was probably accepting the fact that enough sitting on my ass when I go to all these practices. Right. And I do. I go to all my kids' stuff. And I said, okay. And
Previously, when you raised your hand, did Carla try to stop you from raising your hand?
No, not at all. She's all in. She was all in. As a matter of fact, we'll get to that part. She is an assistant coach as well. Yes. She's on the list, and she's going to maintain discipline on the bench for those crumb crunchers when the game goes on. I guess the feeling I got was when he said this is not the same blood and guts that, and Josh would back this up, that the spring leagues are with travel teams and kids trying out and all that. This is more of a just, let's play baseball. Let's play baseball in the fall. That's really what it is. And that's
fall ball, they call it.
Fall ball. And so when he says, well, is there anybody that would like to manage? And I look around at the dads, and I've been their age in their, 40s, 30s. And I'm like, I'm going to be here. I'm like, okay, I'll go for it. It's casual. When he said it was low key and that you could have very little experience, which it's been a million years since I've done this, I raised my hand sitting in the bleachers and then got out on the field and started talking to the kids. And then I've run two or three practices since then. And we have our first game tonight. We had practice yesterday morning, getting them ready for the big game.
Do you use character voices when you talk to the kids?
I do not. But yesterday I did stand in for two pitches in batting practice. And I hit one into left field, which was a good thing. I whiffed on the first, and the kids loved it that the big guy whiffed.
Did you run to first base?
That did not happen. I have informed
hands
both
over
the,
your head screaming.
Use a baseball bat or a racket for this?
I used a baseball bat, but Josh's racket that he told me to get has been a godsend. I use the kids
racket?
All the time. It is a paddle. That's like a trampoline on a rectangle, a small trampoline on a rectangle, where you use it for fielding practice, and you get fly balls.
I can grab mine, and I can show you.
It is a replacement for what is called a fungo bat, which is what you've used previously. And when Josh said that, I said, I'm all in. That's what it is. And he'll show it to you. This is what I use to hit
harder
the fly
to whiff
balls.
Because of the surface area.
Harder to whiff and more accurate and all the good stuff. And you can get a lot of height out of the ball.
Could you use it for pickleball?
I am not quite sure whether it might send a pickleball out into another town.
Well, that's what you want, Mike. You want to win. You don't go to pickleball to lose. That's
what
I'm
saying. Let's
take
a look at it. He's got his little baseball paddle. Oh, he's got a different one than I do.
Yeah. Okay. And the strings are wickedly tight. Is that the deal?
Yeah. It's like a tennis racket, but stronger.
There you go.
It really looks like a Flintstones tennis racket.
Looks like a gill net. I'm watching Alone on Netflix where they're all out trying to catch fish with their gill nets. So I'm into this, and I have run. Carla would probably back me up, and whenever we get a chance, maybe we can get her to come by and talk about my coaching. I think I've done an okay job, but the proof will be, and I think the scrutiny will be, tonight, when I would imagine we have more of a parental participation than the practices, because when kids are that age, and especially if you have multiple kids, you drop them off, and we don't have a million parents in the stands. So,
but tonight will be a sellout for sure.
And this is when the parents judge you, not whether the kids win or lose, but how you handle the kids.
Okay, I am in a quandary. Josh, I need my tutorial. I know I'll have guys there to help me, but I put together my lineup and I show up with my
everyone's in the lineup.
Everybody gets to play, but my starters, I got them all laid out. I got my starting pitching, my starting catcher, the two boys that play normally, but they weren't at practice yesterday. They will not be starting. I think to be a starter, you should probably be at the last practice because you get everybody laid out the way they're going to be. So that's going to be the first problem because these are vocal kids, I know, and we'll see where we go from there. Yes.
Well, here's what I'll say is pitching, there's a limit. At this age, they can only go two innings.
All right.
So you got to be prepared to pull another pitcher for that third inning.
Two innings.
And how long are the majors games?
Mine are an hour 40.
Okay, so they're time-based.
Exactly the length of a TV movie without commercials, Mike.
Right. Tonight's a school night, so a school night is an hour 30. You can't start another inning.
Okay, so it'll go from 6 to 7:30.
Right.
Okay, good. All right, so now I know. Now I know that.
Yeah, that's probably 4 to 5 innings.
Okay, good. All right, I'm perfect.
With normally, your team,
I many, like it more now.
What? How many youngsters are on your team, Mike?
I got a full complement. So, because I got a bench. So there are multiple kids. We probably got 12, 13 kids on the team.
That is good and bad.
Yes. Okay. Why is it? First of all, you know I like the negative first.
I know,
why
you
is it bad?
Do.
It's bad because as the coach, you now have to worry about rotating that many people on and off the field each inning.
Okay.
Because you're not supposed to let them sit on the bench for two innings in a row.
Then I won't.
So if they're on the bench for inning one, they should be in the field for inning two.
That gets complicated, man. That's wild.
Gets complicated, and that's where I keep a little – I pre-plan seven innings of who's on the bench and who's in positions to help me ahead of time. And I kind of keep that in my pocket and make notes as I go by.
This is why this guy is helping me so much.
As a rule, does your chart, your flow chart there, does that work game to game, or do you update it game to game?
I redo it every game.
Now, did you say everybody
positions?
Did you say I have to rotate every inning?
Every inning.
So what about
you said two innings? They can't be on the bench for more than two innings. So couldn't you do it every third?
No. Every inning.
Oh, wow.
It can't be two innings on the bench.
Oh, okay. So every inning they have to get in. So I
now,
will.
Your lineup, that's why everyone's in the lineup.
All right.
So your lineup is 12 people deep or however many, 12
people.
Can
I put
deep.
Guys that I take out back in?
Yes, except for pitching.
Okay. That's easy. Then that's so one kid comes out, sits, goes back in. So it's a little bit of a dance. I'll be.
Yeah, that's exactly how Mike's mind works. Shouldn't be a problem.
I'll show you. Here's my chart.
All right.
That I lay out for each game.
Tucker.
So this was for Saturday, and because I only had nine players, I only did positions once because I didn't have a bench
you're
spot
lucky.
To deal with.
Yeah.
So it made
lucky.
It a lot easier. I then just had to deal with pitchers. But you can see I chart this out for the whole game. I can send you this if it helps.
Okay, yep, send that to me.
That
I'd
won't be any good.
It.
He doesn't have anyone named Elijah on his team.
Right.
Carla
will have to replace the names.
We're ready for the first names?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. You think I don't know these things? All right, let me see. I have, here we go, Michael O'Mara.
That's your
then
son.
Then there's the other Michael. Then there is Cam, Dez, Coop. William. Carter. Tristan. Oh, man, I should know them all. But if they were here, I'd be able to tell you who they are. Dom.
Dead Dom. Dead.
James.
You can call him Jim.
That's 10. I know I have two more. Wait, hold on.
Is there a Billy?
Well, Austin.
Groovy, baby.
And then one more. I don't want to leave out one kid.
Oh, he's the best.
Did you mention Tristan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's pretty good, right? I know them all. I know them all. That to me is a big deal. And I know that I have watched my son play Little League Baseball where the coaches weren't able to do what I just did.
And you let every kid pick out their walk-up song?
We don't have a walk-up song.
I'm just kidding. Some of the teams do that, and it drives me completely crazy.
Yeah,
I hate those teams.
Yeah. And they do it in high school, and they do it. Yeah.
Here's the walk-up song for your son.
Breathe deep, my son. Breathe deep. Anyway, so it's very exciting.
That'd be a great coming out of the bullpen intro.
Yeah. Who's up, Mike? Is there a player that's the tallest?
No, Sandman. You got to play Sandman for Mariano Rivera. That's the bullpen song.
Also, there's Carmina Burana that they use a lot. That's the la 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 la.
Sorry.
Do you have a tallest player on your team?
Oh, yes. Carter.
By far?
Shortstop.
That's ironic that the tall guy would be shortstop.
Yeah. I got my starting line. Got Carter at short. Got Dez at third. I got Coop at second. And let me see. Michael's pitching, so I have William starting at first base.
Do you know why they call him Coop? Because he only has two doors.
I was
thinking more about the parents.
Oh, wait a minute.
That
wait
Michael's
a minute.
Starting the game.
Yeah.
I think I got William catching. So that means my first baseman. Oh my God, I got to figure this out today. I have a whole day to do it. I'll get it right. I'm sure I'll get it right.
You'll still be planning it in your head on the way to the park.
No, I will be prepared. I will be prepared like I am prepared. Rob, you know one thing.
No, that's true.
A little thing about me that Rob knows and I am nothing if not prepared for whatever
that's true.
I do. That's kind of the way I've run this show. You know, I've worked in the past, Rob. You might be aware of this. I may have discussed it with you with individuals who partake of this task without any degree of participation or presentation or preparation, and it causes me a bit of consternation.
Well, Mike, playing the booty song does require some planning.
Stop it. Stop that. What were you going to say, Josh?
No chance you're going to show up there and just first thing tell all the parents, I don't want to be here.
Josh is, let me explain what that's about. And what's brilliant about Josh is he knows this will segue into our Saturday night cocktail party,
right.
our Naked Greed Money Grubbing Radiothon Cocktail Hour, which is going to be this coming Saturday, where I am going to drink and beg. That's what I'm going to, and this is the theme to that.
It sort of happened, but Josh knows. Let's do make this the theme.
Josh knows that the last time that we did that cocktail hour, I had a very bad attitude going into that.
I had a very bad attitude. Yeah.
And I am here to tell you, I have not settled on my costume for Saturday night, but
mine arrived.
Beetle Josh has arrived, and Jelly Rob. And I guess I have to be a figure of pop culture of some kind if I do that, you know?
Who's
O'Mara. No, that's a ripoff of your Jelly Roll.
Yeah, it would have to be
something.
Which I'm
not going to be.
You know who would be good, Mike, is since, you know, Jelly Roll sort of is this. You could be a country singer, but maybe a female country singer that has red hair.
Reba?
Could be.
That would just require a red wig.
I just want to hear the tape.
But that would just require a red wig.
Yeah, that's not what you want to do.
But no, why not? I mean, I like the idea, you know. I mean, come on.
Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire.
Looking back,
I haven't gotten rid of it.
I do have a favorite costume that you did that was weirdly obscure even at the time when you were Wolfman Jack.
Hey, I went to clap for the Wolfman. You're going to dig him to the day you die.
You wore a cape.
For all the people that support us so wonderfully, please make note of that. We're going to have a party with everybody with your questions and your requests and impressions.
It's an AMA, Mike. Ask me anything. Or I guess it's an AUA. Ask
and
us anything.
And I'm here to tell you that now that Rob is a teetotaler and Josh is really not a real imbiber, I will be pre-gaming for the
show.
That's
good news for everybody.
I will be pre-gaming, and my attitude, as Josh referenced, will be stellar. I will come in so positive, and it'll be fantastic.
I think your costume should be your favorite movie of the summer, The Minions. I think you should come in as a minion.
Mike O'Minion.
You think do you think they've opened the Halloween stores yet? Or
yes, Mike, they've been open since August, of course.
All right, so I can.
The
I
last
can pick
time
up,
I saw, a
I'm
minion
going
costume.
With I'm going with Soroka's idea. I will be a minion.
Okay, the last
because that'll
I saw
be just
someone,
a cutout, right? A cutout of my face,
right?
A couple years ago, my doctor was dressed as a
said
minion.
You're going to die.
That was before. This is after that. He was, you know, they have a lot of kids at his practice, so he was dressed as a minion, and it was my time for the finger test. And so I was given the finger test.
And when he was doing it, he was going,
now, Mike, Shannon Fisher in the chat room also has a good suggestion.
What's that?
He could be Zombie Chris Christopherson.
that's too soon. That's in the news. That's in the news. I wasn't even to give the man a proper obit without respect. With respect. Sorry, whatever I'm saying.
And no characters from Saltburn, Mike, please.
I want to mention it again. Saturday night, 7 p.m., yeah. The Naked Greed Money Grubbing Radiothon Cocktail Hour to underwrite the Las Vegas show, which we are very excited about. That's our, you know, our month out precursor to Vegas. And
we lost our backing, Mike, from the Chubb Group.
To dovetail on my promos here,
right.
On my begging, and my everybody knows we are not. You can see the numbers, folks. We are a tiny little engine. We are. And by the way, it's not lost on me how inflation has hit Las Vegas. If you're able to last minute pull it together and get yourself a ticket out there, we would really appreciate it. We're going to have a couple hundred folks up on the pool deck at the Citrus Grand, and we want to see you there, folks. We really, really do. And we'd love to have you. Food, drink, merriment, pool.
So much more than one show, though. It's a whole weekend of people.
Thongs. And that's just the three hosts. You know, I mean, that's it. And notice I called Josh a host. Based on the way. You know what he gets a host credit for now? Based on the way he segued me into the promotion he wanted to do. That was mind control. How long did it take, Rob, for Josh Soroka to start handling me on the show?
Really, it was about the second week.
I think it was, too.
But it took you longer to realize you were being handled. That's what took a while.
And let's hold back on those thongs. That'll be if the show sells out.
If the show sells out, I will wear a thong.
Yeah, I won't necessarily show
it to you, but I'll show it to you through the top of my pants.
Oh, you're gonna whale tail it?
I'll whale tail it. All right. If
I put on a thong,
if the show sells out, I will. Can you commit to whale tailing, Rob?
I don't know that my outfit will allow it, but yeah, I'll wear a thong.
Oh, that's right, because you got a jumpsuit.
No, it's not a jumpsuit though. You'll see. Don't reveal too much.
Well, is it an outfit that has pants?
It does have pants. So, yeah, I'll whale tail it.
All right. Josh?
I have seen some people post this on Facebook, so I will commit to the Maryland flag Speedo if we sell out.
Very good. All right. Very good. And tickets still available, and we get a last-minute push always in October, and we really, really want to see all of you there. Get out there. You know, and if it's tough affording a room, sleep on my floor. I'm fine with that, you know? I mean, really, we're subletting my room,
Mike, like a submarine. Everyone gets 8 hours.
Fantastic. It's going to be great. All right, so baseball is here. Fall ball is here. The playoffs, it's exciting. I haven't covered everything, but we have to take a break. And when we come back, we've got the round table. Lots going on in the world.
Mike. We have a promo.
And thank you for letting me know that. Otherwise, I'd talk right through it.
Yeah, I know.
And lots of fun coming up, including a review of, is it a TV show or a movie that you're reviewing, Rob?
They're both TV series, limited runs.
Very exciting. We'll do that and more coming up. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Shut-A-Da-Wo-Wo-Do.
This week's bonus show is really classic. From Oreos and Coke to ELO and even the acting of John Payne. Take a listen.
It's the bonus show. We do weird crap.
Bring me the cookies!
The ELO show, yes, it's a concert, but really more of an experience. Would you not agree?
100%.
Mr. Blue Sky.
Mr. Blue Sky.
I enjoyed the first Joker.
Dipping in Coke is a good thing.
That scene where the centurion is drunk and he fills his belly with wine and then stabs him and it explodes, spectacular.
Hello?
Yeah.
I love you.
Don't miss out on the fun. Get a bonus show subscription today at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's as comforting as milk and cookies after school.
Oh, man. Man, those guys are on drugs.
They must be.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This portion of the program brought to you by Legacy Box. You know, memories are the absolute best.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. And, you know, having kids is number one, in my opinion. Memories. Of you know, your people that you love, or that's number two.
What about number three?
Reliving them is like using a time machine. But who even has a VCR anymore, or a film projector? No sweat. Legacy Box allows you to revisit those memories without antiquated machines, and it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your family's precious memories. Just send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. Their team professionally digitizes everything by hand right here in the good old USA. You'll get it back on a thumb drive or the cloud, along with your originals. It's so simple, it's like magic. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media, so whatever it is, they've got you covered. Rob digitized his wedding videos.
Yes.
I saved old film footage from the 1800s of my mom and dad. And Josh has all of Brooks Robinson's home movies on a thumb drive. You got to do it. For a limited time, get started preserving your past and save 50%. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to revisit and share special memories from your past. That's legacybox.com/TMOS, people.
No reaction from Josh on the Brooks Robinson joke.
No.
We're well, disappointed. You
know, look. We know, have to establish that. He may play me and manipulate me and get me to do the things he wants to do, but he's not a big reactor, all right?
Yeah,
so
I
let's
know.
Just deal with that. Yes.
Thought that might hit bigger.
Death came in threes this weekend, depending on who you arbitrarily decide to count, but we basically suffered three major losses. Mm-hmm. Dame Maggie Smith, who really had a eighth act with Downton Abbey, where she was the driving force behind that show. So glad she had a show like that at the end of her days. John Ashton, you might remember him from Beverly Hills Cop, where he was the big, bald, goofy, lumpy kind of police officer.
Sidekick to Judge Reinhold.
And a foil to Eddie Murphy, you know? Well, he was Biddle, wasn't he?
He just did
not
that
Biddle,
movie.
He said Biddle. He's the one that said that line.
Yeah, Biddle and Phelps, not the... he was just in the Beverly Hills Cop 4 that just dropped. So he had a strong end to his career, which is great.
And then Kris Kristofferson passed. I'll give you all of them. Maggie was 89 years old. No word on the cause of death, but her family said she died peacefully at a hospital. She'd been around forever, but two of her most prominent roles were also her most recent. Professor Minerva McGonagall in the Harry Potter series, and Violet Crawley, Dowager Countess on Grantham on Downton Abbey. Here's an interesting note. Maggie died on Friday, September 27th, exactly 1 year after the passing of Michael Gambon, who played Professor Dumbledore in Harry Potter. I don't think I needed that fact.
I will say this
who's
about
next year.
Downton Abbey Day.
I don't know any of the actors' names on Downton Abbey, but I know I had the Harry Potter. It'll be Harry Potter.
Oh, he'll go?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
not...
it'll be Daniel Radcliffe.
Maggie Smith was in Harry Potter, right? So
yes.
They're saying it's a year apart from two actors, so it'd be a third Harry Potter.
Right.
Person
exactly.
To die next year.
That's when.
Also, Mike, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that
we're so jaded on this show, aren't we?
For people that are lost in the past, Maggie Smith was excellent in the Neil Simon movie, Murder by Death.
That's
a
yours.
Very funny movie.
That's your own. That's your own.
And you know what?
Right.
I'm sorry about that you don't care for that, but I'm just showing
it's your
a little
tribute.
Respect.
It's your tribute. That's your, you know, I mean, but that's fine. I'm sure that was a very pleasant
And I prefer
movie.
Her in Sister Act.
Yeah. That's
was
cinema,
she in
not
Sister
film.
Act?
Apparently. It's listed as one of her top movies.
All right. Very good. She was in California Suite, too. You know,
why don't we do a Neil Simon comedy? You and me.
Very good. Let's do that. Yeah, the Joy Boys. And Maggie was also nominated by the Academy for Travels with My Aunt, Othello, A Room with a View, and Gosford Park. She also won a Tony, 4 Emmys, and 3 Golden Globes.
Good for her.
Safe
good
home
career.
To her. And John Ashton, we mentioned. Kris Kristofferson, the second version of A Star is Born. Not the Lady Gaga one, which was
the third. Actually.
Okay, so that Kris Kristofferson was
Janet,
the third,
yeah,
and
Janet
Lady
Gainer,
Gaga
Judy
was the
Garland,
fourth.
Yeah, and then Barbra Streisand was the third.
So,
I just watched that about a year ago. It's a pretty good movie.
And a very accomplished musician and songwriter, Kris Kristofferson. So that's that.
Me and Bobby McGee, he wrote.
He wrote that one?
Hey,
yeah.
I think he released it before Janice. Then she released it after she died and had a bigger hit. But great songwriter, Chris Christopher.
I believe that in the movie A Star Is Born with Barbara Streisand was the first awareness I really had of Kris Kristofferson, and he appeared to be a bit wasted. At least that's the way I... And, of course, that was perfect typecasting for the role that he played, right?
Hard living, I think, is the deal.
And wasn't he part of that whole Waylon and Willie group, too? Didn't he hang out with those guys?
With my bookie, you're not just watching football. You're cashing in on the action. Risk-free bets, thousands in cash prizes, and epic rewards every single week. The best part is you can bet on any game, anytime, anywhere, straight from your phone. Check out mybookie.ag and use our code Mike O'Mara to get started. It's mybookie's 10-year anniversary, and they're rolling out the red carpet for bettors. Bet big and bet confident. With risk-free Thursdays. If your boosted bet doesn't hit, you'll get your money back. Weekly, no sweat, win-win bets all season long. For those of you who've been playing with MyBookie, they've got something for you too. A brand new loyalty rewards program. In MyBookie Plus, it's simple. The more you play, the more you earn. And as you progress through the tiers, unlock exclusive promotions, epic giveaways, and cash back in your account. Make your football season a winning season with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, only with MyBookie. Remember, MyBookie.ag and promo code Mike O'Mara. No spaces, no apostrophe. MyBookie. Light 'em up!
Attention sports fans, do you love winning? Of course you do. That's why you need to check out Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million members. It's super easy. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, sit back, and watch the winnings roll in. How about a guaranteed win every week in September? Yep. Just one, yes, one, Caleb Williams passing yard gets you a win each football weekend this month. That's 4 weeks of easy W's. But don't sleep on it. This deal vanishes when September ends. But wait, there's more. Worried about injuries ruining your lineup? Relax. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. If your player leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, your lineup stays in play. No more stressing over those unexpected injuries. This weekend, I'm taking Derrick Henry for more than 70 rushing yards and Daniel Jones for less than 193 passing yards. Two picks I feel great about. The best part is you can win up to 100 times your money with just 4 correct picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today, use code TMOS, and get $50 instantly when you play just $5. That's right, $50 free. Just for giving it a shot. More winning, less stressing. Prize Picks is where the fun begins.
Wayman, there was like a 4-man super group, I think he was in.
I mean, he was involved in music and show business for a very long time. So those gentlemen and ladies.
How do you feel about people that spell Chris with a K?
About the same way as I feel about people that use 2 B's on Rob.
Noted. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Rob did that, by the way. That is an affectation for those of you that don't know. Rob was named, his Christian name was Rob Spiewak with 1 B, and he changed it.
Robert,
what was
actually.
Robert, yeah. But what was the reason you changed it?
It was my way of rebelling, Mike.
Wasn't it because showbiz?
No, it's because at the time, it was fourth grade, Chuck Robb was running for Senate or governor? Governor, I think, of Virginia. And there
became governor, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was Senate that he was running.
And Senate, there were Senator Robb. Senator Chuck Robb. I've been to his house.
There's stickers everywhere that said Robb, R-O-B-B. I said, I like that. And so I took that because before that I was Robbie. And Robbie didn't seem right. And so I took Robb. But also there's other 2B Robs, Mike. I direct your attention to Rob Weller of Entertainment Tonight.
Did teachers try to correct you?
That's a stretch.
I know. It is a stretch. And no, it wasn't that. It wasn't the spelling of my name that bothered me.
Is Rob Weller the only one you could pull?
No, there's other 2B Robs. I think there's
famous?
A Rob Stark, I think, is somebody.
But Rob is Rob. So it's and by the way, I will send text messages and go back and correct them.
I appreciate
if they have a single B. I that's how much it meant to me.
Rob Stark is a fictional character. From the Game of Thrones. Yeah, yeah, that's famous.
Absolutely. That's good. Yeah. Okay, good for you. You have to wonder what, and by the way, no reaction when I mentioned that I've been to Chuck Robb's house.
What? Ooh!
Thank you. It was cool. I went to a fundraiser.
Did you see his bird?
Rob's bird. Lady Bird. Linda Bird.
Linda Bird.
Did. She was at the house. I remember it started to rain. We were out on the pool deck where they were having this fundraiser for, what was that center? He won? Jim Webb. And then he,
also with two Bs.
And then he quit.
Yes.
Like one term, he quit.
Yeah.
Dick. After all that, people get him in the Senate. But Bill Clinton was there, too. That's the one where Bill Clinton came off the stage after he spoke. He spoke extemporaneously, and you could still see why he had the charisma of being president of the United States. And he literally walks by a handshake line, shakes my hand like this, says, hello. And then Carla is right next to me.
Oh, no.
And he takes both hands. He takes her hand in both of his and goes, how are you? That's my Bill Clinton moment. I've had two. I've had two Bill Clinton moments. My daughter Catherine was held by him.
Yes.
And had a picture taken. And then my wife Carla, two hands. How are you?
You're
and I just got a hold.
Your first Clinton moment was you went to his inauguration parade.
And, oh, that's right.
And he was in the limo, but not out of the limo, but they had a speaker.
And he's on the PA.
Yes. So you just heard this down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Thanks for coming. Hello. Thank you. Thank you. How are you? How are you doing? Thanks for coming. Thanks. Hello.
It could have been taped.
That's great. Good memory on that one. That is too funny. So salute to whoever I was saluting. You have to wonder why Saturday Night Live goes to the trouble of hiring a cast. All I watch, I know Rob still watches it, I watch the opening. And can I just send out kudos to Dana Carvey, who...
Dana Carvey,
a million people do Biden. Dana Carvey takes a little thing, and I just thought it was great. I thought, we don't have Biden as president for much longer, so to get that little idiosyncrasy that Biden has, I thought it was special. And, Maya Rudolph did a...
Oh, she's great.
Did a
and
great
Jim
job.
And Jim Gaffigan. Did great as Tim Walz.
Spectacular. And then you've got the arguably the best Donald Trump impression. Yeah. So, I mean, the impressions.
James Austin Johnson.
By the way, and if people are giving them crap for bringing in other people, it's because you don't rely on the cast exclusively and to shoehorn into an impression. Bring some impressionists in. And then you get Maya Rudolph, who has the same vocal register of Kamala Harris, which
she's
is
so
perfect.
Great.
She will do that. For, you know, as long as she can.
Carvey is almost 70, Mike. I just checked it. And he,
so funny.
He has been comedically relevant for a long time. And I think that's great. I love him.
So,
I think he's awesome.
Here's the deal on the opening. Maya Rudolph played Vice President Kamala Harris, as expected, while Jim Gaffigan did a great job playing her running mate, Tim Walz. Andy Samberg.
This was a great curveball.
He returned as Kamala's husband, Doug Emhoff, which was just funny to have Doug Emhoff come out there, you know, that nobody knows who Doug Emhoff is. But Dana Carvey shuffled onto the set to play Joe Biden. He crushed it. He crushed
it. He did.
I was laughing out loud watching it. It was spectacular.
He's got a great podcast right now out with him and David Spade together.
Oh, and they're perfect.
Fly on the wall.
And the style of comedy. And they both have that kind of talk when you're listening to them on that podcast.
Spade embraces the fact that his career has sort of fallen.
It's hysterical.
Funny. It's so great. There was another Saturday Night Live sketch, Mike, if you haven't seen it. Gene Smart was the host, and they did one of the things where it's like a look back on Hollywood, and they did a very angry version of I Love Lucy.
Where Gene Smart played Lucy?
Yeah, but like an angry, drinking, smoking Lucy.
How do you rate that? We haven't talked about it. How do you rate the SNL debut for the
I didn't watch the entire episode. I watched three sketches. I thought Dateline was Dateline.
Weekend Update.
Weekend Update was great. I think Colin Jost is brilliant. They did one joke about eating the dogs and eating the cats. I won't spoil it.
Did you find that Weekend Update on SNL, on the 50th season that they did, they have transitioned from spotlighting the fact that they write politically incorrect jokes for one another to just writing politically incorrect jokes for each other.
I think there's some of that, but also it's always hard to judge the season premiere because they've had literally 5 months to put it together.
We'll wait and see. I'm going to go back
and
watch
the second episode is quite telling. But anyway, I will watch the whole thing. But now I have to watch it on Peacock. So.
The only current cast member on the opening sketch was James Austin Johnson, who plays Trump and does arguably the best version of Trump. And believe it or not, that great Trump that he does was overshadowed by Carvey's Biden, which was a complete surprise for everybody. Kate Winslet is finally ready to burst your bubble about the famous door scene at the end of Titanic where they look so cold.
Yes.
It's, by the way, isn't it hard to believe? 27 years ago, that's Titanic. That's how long that movie was out. Isn't that amazing?
That's the same amount of time between the actual sinking and when the movie came.
She says the scene was shot in a waist-high infinity tank and that Leonardo DiCaprio was actually kneeling down. Isn't that a neat insight? The tank also recirculated water, so there was a constant sound of water rushing, which caused minor audio issues. The cast had to re-record their lines after filming was completed. Kate says, quote, "The last 22 minutes of that movie are entirely looped. Everything, I promise you, because you could hear this water noise the whole time. I shouldn't be saying any of these things. Jim Cameron's going to be ringing me like, why are you telling them all that?" So there's that. Titanic, if you were interested.
Jim Cameron called her and said, talk about the movie. That's what he did.
Does he then need any help? He's got all the money in the world.
He does have all the money.
Have you heard of the term sleep maxing? Either one of you hear that one? That seems
no.
to be a thing.
No.
It's everywhere. TikTok, Gen Z's all about it. Sleep maxing is a general term for when you obsess over getting the perfect night's sleep. It usually involves sleep tracking apps and at least one over-the-top hack like mouth taping. That's where you cover your mouth to force yourself to breathe through your nose all night. And in my case, I would
die. Podcast. The sleeping thing, I've heard about that. Yeah.
Sleepy Girl mocktails also are big this year. Fans of them claim you'll get the best sleep of your life if you mix cherry juice and seltzer water, then add in some magnesium powder. I'd be willing to try
that. And then you shit your brains out.
A lot of sleep experts aren't sure the whole sleep maxing thing is actually a good trend. Prioritizing your sleep is great, but obsessing about it might be backfire because you're doing that. There's a term now called orthosomnia for when you become too focused on sleep tracker data. Studies have found that the data isn't always accurate or reliable. So instead of sleep maxing, the better strategy might be to just relax. The better strategy on intelligence for your life might be just relax. Stick to a regular routine and do what I do. I'm John Tess, and I take heroin every sleep cycle.
It took me a while to find your music.
Intelligence for your life. Gen Xers, anyway.
You know what's great for sleeping, and they're not even a sponsor today, is Liquid IV makes a... I think it's a... God, what is it? It has lavender in it, I think, but it's great. And you drink it a half hour before you go to bed. And
smells fantastic.
Love it.
And finally today, Diddy might be freaky, but he's got nothing on the Brady Bunch. Yeah, I'm the last guy in the world who would bring a Brady Bunch story.
What are
but
you
this one
doing?
Was too
this
good.
Is something you hate.
Barry, the real Greg Brady Williams, says they were getting busy during the Brady Bunch. Here's the quote. "We all hooked up with each other at some point. Great. Not necessarily while we were filming. That makes it sound like every boy got with every girl and vice versa. But when Barry explains it further, it appears that he just means they paired off by age. He says, quote, I dated Maureen McCormick and Chris Knight dated Eve Plum and Michael Lookinland and Susan Olsen had a little mock wedding at one point. So, yes, we all hooked up. If you're confused, that means Greg got it on with Marcia. Peter gave the business to Jan, and Bobby played ball in the house. And everybody, man and women, did it with Alice.
Yeah, even Tiger, Mike.
Even Tiger. Who's Tiger? Woods?
The dog.
The dog. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, that's good. The Tiger. It was nasty. Absolutely nastiness on the set.
Man, can you imagine, though, that stain, Greg Brady getting Maury McCormick?
Marsha was Maureen McCormick, right?
Yeah.
Is that Marsha? Marsha. Heartthrob for millions of young boys out there in the day. We'll take a break and come right back, everybody. Hey, let's face it. Everybody has to deal with bugs.
Yeah.
In and around your house. If bugs are even a minor problem for you, do what Rob does. You have to check out our next sponsor, Pesty. With summer winding down and the nights getting colder, spiders, ants, and other bugs are looking to find somewhere warm to nest. With Pesty's do-it-yourself pest control, you can make sure they don't choose your house. Pesty is on a mission to provide pro-grade pest control products at an affordable price. With Pesty, there's no more waiting for the bug guy to show up when you can spray it yourself in just a few minutes. Pesty makes a customized treatment plan for you based on your location's bugs and climate. And the best part, Pesty is a kid and pet-friendly solution, so you do not have to worry about their safety. Plus, Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Seriously, no questions asked. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs for less with Pesty. Head to pesty.com/TMOS and use code TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's pesty.com/TMOS for 10% off. And make sure you use our promo code TMOS so they know that we sent you, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't realize he just sounds good today, Josh, but Rob had a bit of a sick weekend, your annual sinus infection that
it's
you get.
It's so weird that on Thursday morning, one thing I do like to check every day is my memories on Facebook. And on that exact day, in two different time areas, like 8 years ago and 2 years ago, I had gotten a prescription for a sinus infection. And I can feel when they come on because they get – it's really gross.
How come you get so many of them?
I don't know. My father is the same way. It might be a genetic flaw, a design flaw.
All right.
But I know when I'm getting one, and this is really gross, by the flavor in my mouth, because you can taste it.
All right. Okay.
I know it's gross. I'm sorry, but I went
Jesus
into a...
Christ. Well, it's just not just gross, but it's not information that was really necessary.
I thought you know when because it's whenever a Harry Potter cast member dies.
Every time one dies.
That's when he does it. Hey, kudos
every
to Baltimore.
Year. Baltimore. So I went to the urgent care, and I sat in, and it was great. There was only like two people there, so I got in and out in a fairly regular, fairly timely basis.
How do you know if you have a sinus infection? It's the taste.
I did tell him that, and he says, well, you know better than what I can see here now, but it looks like you could be having one coming up.
Thanks for sharing, Mr. Spiewet. We appreciate it.
The doctor was so awesome. He said, what's your favorite antibiotic? I said, oh, I don't know. Whatever will knock it out. And he gave me, I think he gave me Augmentin. And I've been coughing. And he said, oh, I'll prescribe you some of the anti-cough pearls, which is something that's been around for 3 or 4 years, I think.
Those are the ones you put in your ass.
They're on a string. Taking them out is the worst.
Oh, or the best. All right.
But I said, the pearls don't work for me. He said, well, how about some cough syrup with codeine? I said, that works for me. And so he prescribed me the heavy-duty
cough syrup. Now, how much of that was that it works, and how much is that you just wanted to duplicate Elvis Presley's favorite cocktail?
No, there's none of that.
Well,
because
it's sleep Maxin.
Yeah, sleep Maxin. That's it. Absolutely. Cough syrup with codeine. Mm.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes you get it and it tastes nice. This is very medicine-y. Very
Does it knock
medicine-y.
You out? Does it knock you out quick?
Slept till 10 o'clock on Saturday. Slept
really?
Till just after noon yesterday. So, yeah, it does put you away, which is nice because you're not coughing either.
Send me a box.
I did not. We're just dressing.
I'll send you a box.
Well, I did not take any this morning because I wanted to stay awake for most of the show.
You sound good, but I can tell that you're working hard today because you're a little under the weather. I get it.
A little bit.
But you sound good, so whatever you're taking has to be working. I've heard you when I couldn't tell today when we got together. Couldn't tell at all.
The one thing is that it's giving me some lower register if I need it, which is really kind of weird for me. And also because Carrie and I don't speak, a lot of times when I wake up in the morning, I'd get a phone call and I'd pick up the phone. I go, hello. And it would surprise me because I didn't expect my voice to be off. But because of the sleepiness and keeping it low this weekend, I watched two things on television that I recommend. One series, I watched the entire thing. I watched 8 episodes. I binged the whole thing. It's on Netflix and it's called, let me make sure I get this right, Nobody Wants This. and it has Kristen Bell in it, who is just so
I've
cute.
Seen the poster for that on Netflix. That's interesting. Yeah.
And a comedy? She plays and she plays a podcaster, which I thought, oh, this is gonna be horrible. Yep. But actually she's a podcaster who does a sex related podcast, who falls in love and starts dating a rabbi played by Adam Brody. And I said, this is too cutesy. I'm going to hate this. But actually, some of the stuff about podcasting is quite true.
Okay.
And actually, the writing is great. Do you know the guy who played the super dick on Veep? The tall guy that was like a...
Bald guy?
No, not bald. He was an assistant sort, and he was just an absolute ass. But he plays another great ass on this show. I recommend it highly.
Okay.
Now, the other one... And
what's the name of the show again?
It's called Nobody Wants This.
Okay. I've seen that. They're really pushing it on Netflix. That's good.
I'm downloading it right now for my flight.
There you go. I think you'll enjoy it. And
Josh is going to Baltimore, if you just tuned in. Josh is going to Baltimore for the Orioles game.
That's what the second B in Rob stands for. Baltimore.
Baltimore. So
the other one I started watching last night, and it got to the point where it said, Netflix wants to know, are you still watching this? I'm sorry, Mike. I'm touching my head. I know you hate that. Stop it.
I don't just hate it. Josh hates it, too.
I never said I hated it. It's just new. Just a lot of that.
Stop it, guys. Come on.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I never wanted to be on television.
Go ahead. What's the other show you're watching?
The other show is called Monsters, or Monster, and it's about Eric and Lyle Menendez.
Oh, and, you mentioned that last week.
Yeah, and the thing is I guess they killed their parents in like 89. So I was in college and not following this stuff. So a lot of this story is new to me. I had forgotten that one of the Menendez boys was bald. Which is a great reveal.
Oh, that's right. Like wore a toupe.
Yes. It's
back,
a major
even
plot
back
line.
In the day, right?
Yeah. This is a major plot line in the movie.
By the way, they were murdered brutally, right? Weren't they shotgunned in like the back?
Shotgunned. Yeah. Because
back of the head?
Because you could get a shotgun without showing two IDs. So the whole story is very, very
well
told.
You know, you got me on both, but you really might have hooked me on the monsters. I might have to take a peek at that.
Stay with it, man. Yeah. And the performances are great. It's really eerie how dark it is.
I've got this in front of me. It's 9 episodes, an hour each. It's 9 hours.
Well, I think it's just under an hour. I watched, 4 of them yesterday, maybe 4.5.
Binging.
Pretty addictive.
I love binging. You don't like binging, Josh? I love
binging. No, I do. It's just that's a deep dive into these guys.
I bet
there's
Carla
a lot
might
going
like
on.
I might but do it. I like to have something.
I will
to watch
give it a try.
It. Okay.
I didn't know about there's a whole bunch of crooked lawyering going on and a sexual undertone and a very unsavory sexual undertone I didn't know about. It's really well researched, and I think it would be a good story if someone made it up. But the fact that it's all based on truth made me grab my head because it was wild.
I mean, they were the big story, and they had a famous sister who was turbo hot that doesn't get a lot. Yeah, Eva Menendez.
That's not the same, Mike.
I'm sorry. I forgot. That Monsters, I really want to check out.
Check it out.
That's exact. Did you watch any of the television with codeine and cough syrup?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, yes. And you know who plays Mr. Menendez?
Who's that?
Javier Bardem.
Oh,
he's great.
A-lister Hollywood
dick
guy.
He was.
Okay, we'll take a break and come back with beautiful video, everybody. Hey, everybody. It's easy to be your best self with DermGlow. DermGlowSkin.com. Just one dose a week, and you're on your way to losing 21 to 26% of your weight while improving blood sugar, cholesterol, and blood pressure. But what if you don't like needles? This is new at DermGlowSkin.com. Do you have an injection objection?
What?
I love that. Well, never fear. Sublingual semaglutide drops are here. That's right, drops. You just put them under your tongue and you are off to the races. And if you don't qualify for semaglutides or tirzepatide, we offer weight loss with sermorelin. And that's available through DermGlowSkin.com, too. It's an injection or tablet. It doesn't get any more convenient than that, kiddo. The products are delivered to your door in 7 to 10 business days, and you can qualify from the comfort of your home. Afterpay is coming soon, so it's time to try DermGlow. There's the sinus infection right there.
I brought down the wrong fader. What an idiot.
Start your transformation today. at DermGlowSkin.com. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I approve this message. Ladies and gentlemen,
some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
You know, for the longest period of time, I decided that I was not going to share any of my golfing videos, but then I got such a positive reaction when people, you know, saw me out on the links, and they just liked the activity, and I didn't think it
was... you saying they see the video. It's not like you're being approached by people on the course.
No, I have a videographer. I have a videographer that travels with me and really, really documents everything from arriving at the golf club to teeing off to, you know, riding around in a golf cart. And this is a brief one, but I know you're clamoring for it.
Is it like Curb Your Enthusiasm?
It's exactly the same thing with manufactured lines that we have.
Thank you.
We now go to, we'll call this segment Curb Your Golf. Check out this week's video from me on the golf course, ladies and gentlemen. I think you'll really enjoy it.
The cart stops
Josh,
short.
We'll do a replay on
and
that
the
one,
guy goes through the windshield.
I like the guy in back of him, too.
I know.
That almost rear-ends
the guy.
Can you
do that? Can we do that one more time?
Oh, my God. The guy almost hits.
Yeah.
He enjoyed it.
Although, Mike, it speaks well for the braking on a club car brand golf cart. I don't know that you could do that on an easy go.
I take you now to memory lane, Rob, with the days that you liked booze. And if you and I were strolling along a locality and saw this sign, we might be pissed, but we probably would get duped. Take a look at this little sign that we have.
It says, come in, free beer.
Now look closely.
And then in very tiny font, come in. Wi-Fi is free. Beer is good.
There jerks. It is. Jerks.
That's
you jerk
no good.
Stores.
I would still be okay with it.
I'm not sure. A lot of these, as I like to qualify when I'm playing beautiful video, I like to tell you that I'm not sure how it happened. Could be a fake. Could be a non-fake. I don't know. It appears to be real. But this is another new sitcom that I call Hammock on a Bus. Hammock on a bus.
Some no hammocks. We've got a whole.
Where's the no hammock sign?
A whole list.
No, no. I can see you. You can't see me.
If you don't come out of that.
I'm not here.
Call the police.
No.
What?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
So there's a hammock on the bus.
Oh my God.
Well,
oh my God.
I won't be stopped. I said I won't be stopped. You see that?
Oh my God.
That is, you know what? That can't be a sitcom because that guy is criminally insane. And that's it's a tie-dyed hammock, too.
It's a tie-dyed hammock, Dave.
Dave.
Makes me want to take the light rail this week.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Yeah. I have to ask you this.
Is it me or that looked like a school bus? That didn't look like a city bus. That looked
maybe we will never know. Mm. We will never know about that. Rob, what were your feelings when you first heard Billie Eilish?
The first song was that song Bad Guy, and I thought it had a sound like I'd never heard. Thought it was really good. And then as I got more into her music, I got to like her even more. But I thought that first hit single was a little groundbreaking because you're going to hate that I say this. It was a sexy record and it sounded great.
I think that if I was a music producer, I would do what this person did when he discovered Sophia Isella by saying, Billie Eilish is great, but I think you can sing softer than Billie Eilish. I give you, ladies and gentlemen, the song stylings of Miss Sophia Isella. I believe that's her name. I hope I didn't get it wrong. Let's listen, shall we?
The doll people are not men. They are made of ice and glass. Our skin is clay and painted blue. Our head can detach. We are statues with a pulse. We are art you can fuck.
I think she said a bad word there.
The doll people are quiet.
The doll people.
What is there to say? Art does not interpret itself. There are men with a day to say.
I take a hard pass on them.
She's way too, I think she's whale tailing too.
We are art you
well, I don't know if you can whale tail if she's wearing like a one piece.
Yeah, you can.
Drink.
I'd have to see her ass.
I like the doll people. I like Sophia Isella. I hope I got her name right.
I like that I really she don't. Worked her breathing into the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does she still run that train from D.C. to New York?
The Isella. God. He's the drugs are work for him today.
In a hammock.
Show. You remember last week when I was talking about repopulating moving the show, expatriating the show to Thailand?
Yes.
All right. I'm glad that I have evidence. There's another video showed up on my feed. And Rob Spiewak, I know you are a Virginian for life, but yes. Check out. You're also one of the cheapest men I know. Check
Thank
this
you.
Video out and listen to what you can do over there.
All right.
Cost to live in Thailand as a digital nomad? Let's find out.
A modern condo in Bangkok
costs as little as $400 a month.
And this is how much food will set you back.
Noodles for breakfast, $1.
Lunch delivered to your condo,
only $2.
Or come to a market
and grab dinner for $2.
And finish the day right with some mango sticky rice.
Let's be real. I would never cook again.
Who needs a car when you can get a Grab for $2? Or take one of these for less than $1.
Or jump in a tuk-tuk for $5.
When it comes down to work, you can always find a cool co-working space in the center of Bangkok from $190 a month.
The real treat is going to the movies. It's $9 for a seat, or for $30 you can watch a movie in a bed.
And with all the money you've saved, you can get a massage every day for $8.
So, would you move to Thailand?
There it is.
I don't know.
She was asking you, Rob.
I will. The massage is intriguing.
$8.
I know. For that, 2 hours, please.
$8. Wow.
But you got to eat noodles for breakfast.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I mean,
you know what?
But,
who's
oh, stop
really...
it. What are you going to Okay, you can't have your bacon. You can have your bacon and eggs, too. I'm sure it's all cheap.
Who's checking? I'd like to see the paperwork on that for all those prices.
Rob, you know what I think? And I believe this with all my heart. I think if what? You had one night in Bangkok, the world would be your oyster. Murray Head. No, it's
From
not.
The
no,
musical
we're not going to
oh,
break.
I thought,
what are you doing? Come
that
on.
That was a really
hey.
Strong close. I thought
no,
you
No,
were...
this is a really strong close.
Mike, from the musical Chess, Murray Head, yeah. please.
This so. Murray Head. One night in Bangkok, no words, y'all. Oyster. No, the kicker here is a business naming service. Take a look at this. This
Rick's
is awesome.
Naming Services. What's your business?
Plumbing.
And what's your first name?
Oh, Steve.
Hey. Steve, you are now Steve's Plumbing. Next.
I'm also a plumber named Steve.
What's your last name?
Olson.
Olson's Plumbing. Next.
We own a concrete business.
What's the first initial of your last name?
M-H.
M&H Construction.
I have a concrete business, too.
You guys pretty good?
Yeah.
Would you say that your work is quality?
Yeah.
Quality concrete. Moving on.
LA Tile.
Spice this one up a little bit. Where are you located?
Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo Tile next.
I also lay tile in Fargo.
Tough one. You got anything close to your shop?
There's a river.
Red River Tile next.
You are not going to f***ing believe this, but I also lay tile in Fargo by the river.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that one is pretty tough. What's your favorite cardinal direction?
South.
Southtown Tile. Next.
I got an auto body shop.
What do you do every day?
Usually I just fix stuff.
You fix an auto body shop.
You do steam cleaning.
And where are you located?
Cleveland.
Cleveland Steamers. Next.
Come back. That's probably not going to fly.
There you go, ladies. Now we go to break.
Yeah, I'm
How about
sorry,
that,
Mike?
Everybody?
Yeah.
Beautiful video.
As the great Murray Head sang, Mike, I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine.
There you go. Murray Head. That was his real name.
You've had
folks.
To play that record a few times.
Oh, my God. 80s, everybody. Hey, yeah. We'll be right back with more fun and more thrills and more beautiful video on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, you know, one of the best ways to enrich your life is language.
Yes.
Oh, my son could tell you that. So if you want to expand your horizons, you need Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. We're talking Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. Polish, the language of Josh and Rob's people.
Yeah.
That's right. Both. They are so Polish.
We're going to speak Polish to each other in just a few weeks.
Rosetta Stone immerses you in the language. No English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value, a lifetime membership that offers lifetime access to all 25 language courses that Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. That is a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Our listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today/TMOS today. Right? Is that a TMOS code
no,
after that?
No,
just
TMOS.
Slash today.
It's today. That is the tone. So that is the code. rosettastone.com/today. That's the code. All right, wanted to make sure. They're a brand new sponsor, and we welcome them. 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today, and do it right now.
Jerry Todd.
Mike, I am not an unfeeling, uncaring, hateful hump as many people think I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big football fan. People know this, but I thought this was very nice. It's always sad when a disease attacks someone unexpectedly, and they have to, especially a public person, they have to deal with it in the public eye. Brett Favre, of course, let go in a rather unceremonious way last week that he had Parkinson's. He said it at Congress.
Yeah, and there's controversy around it because there's some people that are throwing darts at him right now about it, saying he's just doing it because he's in trouble. So,
well,
I don't
think that's the case, but I thought this was – he posted this over the weekend on social.
Brett, I just wanted to thank everyone for your support after the news that I had Parkinson's when I was testifying at Congress. Unbelievable show of support, and I want you to know I truly appreciate it. Hopefully this will shed some light on concussions and head trauma and also Parkinson's. There's a lot of people that are out there with it. Some know it, some don't know it. So it can happen to anyone at any time. So again, thank you for your support. I really appreciate it.
You know what? Even if it is somehow,
I don't know. I say that not like there are a lot of people. There was one particular individual that I'm not sure who it is. I will do my research and try to get back to you on that one. But I heard there was a little controversy. He looks like he'd go out and play right now.
It was cool to see the Packers' current quarterback Jordan Love show up to the game in a Packers jersey to honor Brett.
Yep. Very cool.
And you know what? If it does bring more recognition, more attention to a problem that's obviously a problem,
yep,
how can you fault a man for that? How can you fault him for that?
Absolutely.
Mike, I sometimes go through so many pieces of copy and paper and commercials and things. I read things wrong. I thought this said poo canoe. It's not a poo canoe. This is a poo cano. And this is in China. And what happened?
Poo cano.
Yeah, it's not a poo canoe. It's a poo cano because
ruptured sewage line?
Mike, you nailed it. And you wonder how much is the pressure in a ruptured sewage line before it ruptures.
Oh man.
It's enough to put its contents over 30 feet in the air. Nearly four stories. Now we have two clips here. One we're going to have to describe, one you can hear. So let's go to China. Here's the poo cano. They're driving down the street. A massive
so it looks like
cloud.
A methane gas explosion.
Oh,
there.
It's not gas though.
So it's that solid, line, but I'm saying that's probably what caused the explosion.
Yeah, and they're thinking it was 31 feet in the air, and that's. But listen to this. There's a guy driving, and there's the explosion. And listen to his windshield.
Oh no! Oh God! Oh God! God! Oh, that is pure nastiness.
You really have to make sure you have the washer fluid topped off in your car.
That is horrible. Yeah. Oh, my God.
A bad week for Mayor Adams of New York City.
You're not kidding.
I think, what did they get him for? Flagging, was he kiting?
Influence peddling.
But he has, this is funny because they've been going through lots of tapes of him, and they found he has a special catchphrase he uses when he wants to make certain people feel, I don't know, embraced by New York City. This is a montage of the mayor speaking over the last few years.
Everyone knows that New York City is the Athens of America,
is the Istanbul of America,
is the Keys of America, is the soul of America.
We are the Tel Aviv of America.
New York City is the Islamabad of America,
the Zagreb of America.
We are the Lima of America.
New York City is Mexico City of America.
This is the Dublin of America, New York City.
So maybe he needs a new speechwriter. I don't know.
Wow.
Really
wow.
Sad when they
guy?
Get caught like that, huh?
Yeah, really, really. What a drag. What a drag, man.
Speaking of New York, we had some really good food when we were living in New York or going to New York for the show.
Best eating city in America. Absolutely. Everybody knows that.
There's a restaurant. It's sort of hidden off of Broadway, and it's run by two recognized Michelin chefs. It's called Bird Box. And they're selling a chicken sandwich, as Jim Nance would say, unlike any other.
Unlike any other.
Because it is a deep-fried chicken sandwich like you would get anywhere, except theirs still has the chicken foot attached.
I'm Square. We opened in July, and we're here with the Claude, our famous sandwich. And we serve the sandwich as a testament to the quality of the chicken that we serve. And that goes for the wings and the breast sando, but this is our see it and believe it proof. So the foot is our...
So it's an actual chicken breast and thigh combo.
Yeah, but the foot's not attached to the breast, is it?
Well, they have to go far up to make that happen. And they have a special butcher, they say.
What do you mean they have to go far up?
I mean, they have a special butcher that they have that actually makes this cut for them. If you cut up from the foot, eventually it will connect to the breast and they debone it, but they leave the foot on. So if you want a chicken sandwich with an inedible foot on it,
don't you think they just take a foot and stick it in there when they deep fry it?
I think they stay. I think
they just glue the two together.
They say it's connected.
No, it's connected to the leg. It's not connected to the breast. Rob, they couldn't do that.
And leave the leg there.
Listen, I'm only reporting the news. All right, that's what Bird Box said.
No, but I mean, it's probably they. I don't doubt.
Did you see the size of it?
But it's a chicken. There's no way the leg would go right to the. That's a chicken breast. I can recognize it as a chicken breast with a leg sticking out of it.
What if they deboned it and folded it over?
I don't know. Let's move on.
Does it open up to a larger chicken?
I don't know.
It says it's a thigh, not a breast.
Oh, it's so that it is the leg.
All right.
Right? Is that true?
Well, yeah. If you see like a leg quarter, it has the thigh and then the drumstick. So, yeah, you know what?
Leg bone, thigh bone connected to the knee bone. Knee bone connected to the foot.
Mike, I would rather probably be put down than go into hospice care, because I've dealt with people that have been in hospice care, and I think it's very sad. It's very sad.
But ho. I just want to say one thing. Hospice people are...
Oh, they're marvelous.
The greatest in the world.
The best.
And as far as I can, my personal experience with my mom, the ability to let people know in a sensitive way what stage we were at was so valuable, and she was so young, and she was so brilliant, and I just, my experience was positive, but I didn't mean
it's wonderful. I love the notion of hospice care. I just don't want to be there. That's my deal, and it's not. I've dealt with them, and they're
you
great.
Don't want to go into it yourself.
No, I don't want to go into hospice care.
All right,
I don't think that's your choice.
Thank you.
I think normally someone else makes that choice for you.
Yeah. Right.
Well, guys, I hope you stand up for me and keep me out of hospice care. Okay. When the time comes.
No problem.
Thank you. It's all in the papers. But this guy is 89 years old, Mike, and he's in hospice care, and he's made a lifetime, and he's logged them all, of jumping out of a plane with a parachute. Sort of legendary for it. And when you see this guy, I don't know, should they be letting this man parachute?
It's never too late to have an epic adventure.
Inland Empire reporter Leticia Juarez takes us along as a man in hospice care feels the thrill of skydiving one last time.
Gary Patmore is showing you're never too old for an extreme adventure.
So Gary, at this very moment, we need to make sure the furniture is in the center of the living room.
At 89 years young, the retired aerospace engineer is going skydiving.
God bless him.
It's fun, exciting.
While he is a man of few words, Patmore is a man with plenty of adventure under his belt.
God bless him.
A logbook documents his more than 1,300 jumps out of civilian, antique, and experimental aircraft.
Oh, man. That's sweet.
Know. You think it's sweet. I have a picture of maybe a pushy younger bride saying, we're going to make you jump. Do you think he was pushed out of the
what
plane?
What is wrong? Your medication has messed your brain up, man. I swear to God. That's not a younger bride. That's his wife next to him.
Yeah, well, she,
play it again. Play. You have to play. This time I'm going to cry. I didn't want to do it with the chicken video, but I'm going to do it with this one. You'll
see
his
video. I was bared out by
you'll,
that.
You'll see.
Here is going skydiving.
I think you see his wife here.
It's fun.
Here's his wife.
She looks younger than him.
Well, it's probably a third wife.
God, you two are monsters. All right, play your next video for God's
sake. Mike, I'm just saying, I don't want to see him pushed out of a plane.
He wanted to. He was with it.
He probably wants to die on the fall.
That could
wouldn't
be.
That be something? Yeah. Well, they probably arranged that if you wanted to, if you had an unscrupulous...
Oh, before impact.
Before impact. I'm saying
So he hits the ground like a bag of rice?
What's right.
No, just pass out on the way down.
Okay. Loosen that buckle, Mr. Splat.
Right, Senator Splat.
Senator Splat.
Let's close with this, Mike. It's a different world nowadays that you can have a surveillance cameras. And I just said that like Liddy. What a jerk.
Surveillance
cameras.
It's Bambay. Mercedes Benz.
At least I caught myself. You can have surveillance cameras anywhere. And even, as you know, with the Ring camera, talk to people that are near them. Here's a home and garden place. I believe it was in Miami. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But they got an alert, and you wouldn't believe who was robbing their home and garden place, Mike. This is creepy. I don't like clowns.
Rain can be soothing and great for the plants here at JVI
this
Secret
guy.
Gardens.
I know.
Of course, we got our pansies in because it's that time of year. And this is our shade section.
Mike, watch out for the pansies.
But for owner Derek Johnson, the gloomy day feels a little more unsettling after his business partner alerted him to something spooky on the business's surveillance cameras earlier this week.
And Aaron says, hey, there's someone at the garden center wearing a white mask. You need to get up there right now.
So Derek took a look.
And I see what's on the image. It's like, nope, I'm not going up there.
So you can see him there on the surveillance. Mike, it's a clown.
Yeah, it's a clown. It's an evil-looking clown.
But here's
it's Pennywise.
Well, you have to hear how this owner refers to the clown. That's my favorite part of the whole thing.
I'm not going up there.
Because whoever made it inside didn't need any magic tricks to clown around. Just a foot to kick in the back fence and some bad intentions.
Fiance.
The only thing I can describe it as is the character from the movie Pennywise.
Derek didn't know if this clown emerged
Pennywise
or not.
The character from the movie Pennywise.
Pennywise. I mean, the
That's kind of like doll movie.
Pennywise.
The only thing I can describe it as is the character from the movie Pennywise. He went. His body wasn't going with him.
Did you get an ascription of the suspect?
I was over to the drug fair and I got an ascription for antibiotics. And I got it. That's like the movie Pennywise.
That's a great movie, Pennywise. Man, oh man, that's exciting. All right. Hey, we got to take a break. We'll come back with another episode tomorrow, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. And don't forget, coming up this Saturday, 7 p.m., October 5th, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Money Grubbing. Naked Greed. It is the Naked Greed Money Grubbing Radiothon Cocktail Hour, October 5th. Yes, thank you for putting that up there, Josh.
7
Otherwise,
o'clock
I forget it.
Eastern Time, Mike.
We will have Beetle Josh, Rob Spiewak dressed as
Jelly Rob.
As Jelly Rob, which is Jelly Roll. And
yeah.
I will be a minion.
Yes.
I've decided that
Mike
is
O'Minion.
A wonderful idea. Mike O'Minion. they all prop me up, folks. That's the way this show works. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Pennywise.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So what do you want me to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket?